North State Give and Take is made possible by the generous contributions of KZFR supporters and by Northern Star Mills, serving the North Valley with farm, garden, and pet supplies since 1898. Northern Star Mills offers natural and organic soil amendments and fertilizers, as well as natural holistic pet supplies. Northern Star Mills is located in downtown Chico, across from the Bidwell Mansion. And by The Printed Image, providing screen printing and embroidery in Chico since 1980. The Printed Image opened Monday through Friday, 9 to 3, and by appointment. More information by calling 530-898-9525. Today on North State Give and Take and Local Voices, I'm going to interview Peter Strauss. And Peter was the owner of AVL Looms years ago, and we'll kind of go into that. Now is on the Tourist Shelter Board. We'll kind of go into that. But we're going to start off with him letting us know a little bit about how he got here and what's interested him while he's here.
Well, thank you, Bobby. First of all, let me just correct the record. We're trying to rebrand Tourist Shelter as True North Housing Alliance.
Very good. Yes.
So let everyone know it's True North Housing Alliance, of which Tourist Shelter is one of our main, if not our main function.
Okay. Very good.
And I'm on the board. I'm the vice chair.
Okay. That's correct. Great. Yeah. All right. So let's, we'll touch on that kind of when we get on moving down that timeline. When did you move to Chico?
I moved to Butte County in 1976.
Okay.
I was in San Francisco for a couple of years before that, and prior to that, I was born and raised in Detroit, went to the University of Michigan in Ann Arbor, and came out and lived in San Francisco for a couple of years, and then moved to Pulga in the Feather River Canyon. I lived in Pulga with a bunch of other,
yes,
I guess what are now called hippies,
yeah,
you know?
Sure.
And I lived there for 4 years, and the woman who became my wife actually ran, and I helped her run a summer camp for girls. They lasted 6 years, both in Pulga and also up by Packer Lake in the Sierra Buttes and down in Santa Cruz, mm-hmm, Mountains. Quite successful, over 300 girls,
oh,
from mostly Bay Area came up to Pulga, and we,
yeah,
worked as a cabinet maker and a substitute teaching, sort of, you know, did the things that people do in their 20s.
Sure, sure.
Moved to Chico in 80, and then I moved to Durham. Was in Durham for a couple of years and had been living permanently in Chico since 1983.
Okay.
And in 1982, after a couple of things, I went to work at AVL Looms and eventually ended up owning the business.
Okay.
And was there from 82 until 2005. I still own a piece of it, a small piece.
Okay.
I sold it. I had a five-way bypass, which I was telling you about.
Yeah.
And I decided I needed to
live
not work
life
so hard.
Yeah.
And so I sold the business to a great guy, and he's still
doing
Bob
it.
Kruger.
Okay.
And he is on the board of True North as well.
Okay, neat.
Fantastic guy, done a great job with AVL.
And tell me a little bit about AVL.
AVL is a very interesting business.
Yeah.
It's the A in AVL is named after a guy named Jim Ahrens, who was an engineer in the Bay Area, who somehow got involved with weaving. He actually was involved, worked for the Department of Agriculture, has a Western Research Laboratory in Livermore. And California used to be a big grower of cotton and also wool, of course, with sheep. And so the U.S. government researched how to make better use of this cotton and wool. And Jim was an engineer by trade, not having to do with textiles, but had gotten involved with textiles because his wife, his first wife, was a weaver. And he learned a lot about industrial weaving and got very interested in sort of bringing industrial weaving technique to hand weaving, which is very primitive in America. Jim Ahrens came up with an interesting style loom that actually combined industrial weaving technology with hand looms. And of course, in the 60s, there was this whole back to the land movement,
yeah,
of which Pulga was part, you know.
Yeah.
And he found this weaving school in Berkeley. And they started using his looms. And the V in AVL, a guy named John Violette, who was living in Pulga, got together with Jim Ahrens, and they started AVL Looms. And there's a kind of loom called a Dobby loom, which is basically a player piano, a wooden player piano. And in the early 80s, we figured out a way to connect an Apple computer to the loom in place of the player piano function, the Dobby. And we were among the first people in the world to do it.
Wow.
And it became a sort of a very interesting business. We now have looms in over 90 countries around the world. And I got to travel and see the world, which was important to me.
Yeah. Is selling or bringing them places and showing people how to use
them?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. I had agents and reps in Europe and Japan and Australia. Uh-huh. And I got to travel all over Europe and to Asia and South America. And it was really interesting. It is a very interesting place.
Yeah. Well, and it's here. It's down here on Park.
Yes, it's on the corner of Park and Myers.
And
People
could just walk
people
in and check them out?
In fact, the local weaving guild, the Mount Lassen Weavers and Spinners, I think they're called, meets there, I think, once a month or every other month.
Mm-hmm.
We have local weavers like Sandy Fisher with
yes.
the Flax Project, and she used our looms for years.
Uh-huh.
Bob has done a great job. In fact, he was telling me the other day he got a commission to build a old-style loom for a very big company, actually Toyota Motors. Toyota started out, and still, their first product was weaving looms. Toyota's moving their headquarters in America from California to Texas, and the architect wants to put an old-style wooden loom in the lobby.
For show.
And they contracted with AVL to build that loom in the old style with no metal, all wooden pegs and all that stuff. So it's been a really interesting business. We've met a lot of interesting people. I met people all over the world, and they all came here.
Yeah.
You had a lot of people visiting us in Chico, so it was
great.
It was really great. In fact, I have to say, another interesting business that doesn't exist anymore is a little name drop in here, Cal Parrott's tofu business. He had a tofu business for 25 years, and I always would bring my Asian customers to try Cal's tofu, and they always said it was the best tofu they'd ever had, so... You know, Cal, if you're listening, bring it back, man. We all miss you.
And I do remember it, too.
So anyway, I did that, and then I had this heart problem and sold it to Bob in 05. And luckily, I had been adjuncting in the business department for a few years, and I had to take a semester off. And when they found out why and I was going to be selling the business, they were just starting a entrepreneurship program.
At Chico State.
That's where I was at Chico State. And they asked me if I wanted to come teach there full time. So I was looking for a new career. And that was, I feel very blessed to be in North State, to have had two really interesting careers.
Yes.
The AVL one took me all over the place. It was 23 years or so. And as I say, I still do some work there. Not so much anymore. But for about 5 or 6 years after I sold it to Bob, I still was handling international sales and stuff. And then starting the entrepreneurship program, which fortunately for me was at a time in America when the iPhone was being introduced. There was all this new business opportunity, so much stuff going on in Northern California that I had some students who were remarkably successful.
Yeah.
It was really great.
Yeah.
So
these were students that were interested in starting their own business or at least...
Yeah. And it's interesting. It's still going on today. And one of the... outgrowths of it, or I don't know if you can say outgrowth, but part and parcel of this, that Chico now is blessed to have something called Chico Start, which is a business incubator on the ground floor of City Hall. And the city actually charges Chico Start $1 a year in rent to have the space. And the woman who runs Chico Start now is my successor at the Center for Entrepreneurship. So there's a much closer connection between ongoing entrepreneurial ecosystem in Chico and Chico State. It's really been a really good thing, I think, for the town gown relationship. And I think also her name's Eva Shepherd. She's done a good job of fostering smaller companies that are more green focused and trying to do very interesting things with biofuels and a lot of different things. It doesn't have to be, I mean, for a while when I was doing it, we were just all about scaling and doing the,
how to do a business.
Software
yeah.
to make big money, and a couple of them actually did really well.
Yeah.
A few of them did quite well. And a number of them have gone off and been quite successful.
Yeah. So now they're including this part of it with the students.
Doing yes. In fact, this semester, Eva is doing a thing where one of our more illustrious alums is actually, I think it's a $50,000 donation for students to start their own business under the auspices of the school, and there's a board of advisors of which Eva's asked me to be on.
Another board.
Another local.
Good, though.
So there's going to be kids trying to start businesses here in Chico with a little seed money, which would be interesting to see if it works. It's an experiment.
Wonderful. Yeah.
But yeah, it's a good program. The College of Business has been very supportive of it.
Neat.
It's a nice program for kids to, and they come from all over the place.
Sure. Well, and we kind of know Chico State is known kind of for that, for kids who are interested in business.
And Chico State is actually an accredited business school. There's only about 600 accredited business schools in the world.
Oh, wow.
And it's accredited, so it means it actually, being accredited just means that they meet certain criteria and have certain...
it's a focus.
Yeah. They have to make sure they have accounting and finance and marketing and all that stuff. And certain percentages of PhDs, et cetera. It's a good program.
Well, that's impressive. Good.
Yeah.
Okay, so there's that.
It's coming to the end of the line. I graduated from high school in 1968, which makes me feel like a dinosaur. I had to hitch my wagon out and leave my horse out by my high school in Detroit. So I decided I'd rather retire a year too early than a year too late.
Yeah, that's good.
And I decided to retire on December 31st, 2019, which predated the pandemic by about 2.5 months.
Right.
So I was quite fortunate in that regard as well.
For sure.
I didn't have to do the Zoom teaching and all that stuff.
Yes.
So that was sort of lucky.
Yeah, that was
fortuitous.
Lucky. Yeah.
But I wanted to give back to the community. This place has been really good to me and my family. My wife and I raised both our kids here.
Yeah.
They both did very well. They got good careers. They both work here in Chico, one at Lulu's and one at California Olive Ranch. And they're doing quite well, and I have 3 grandchildren. So anyway, I wanted to give something back, and I thought that, the biggest problem in the community that I could see that everyone seems to be concerned about, and throughout California, is this problem of people being unhoused.
Yes.
There's a lot of reasons for it. I don't really need to go into all of them. I mean, it's clearly the mental health aspect.
Sure.
The income inequality, the high cost price of housing.
Yeah.
The fact that we closed down most of our mental hospitals, which I can't understand. At the time, it seemed like a good idea. I don't know.
I don't know.
But it's something that was clearly exacerbated a great deal in this community by the Camp Fire.
Yeah.
And around that time, actually, right after that, I joined the board of what was then Torah Shelters, now called True North Housing Alliance. And I've been working with them ever since. And it's been quite rewarding. It's a thankless job, clearly. I like to say, here I taught business all these years, and it's the world's worst business model. You bring someone in, you help them, and, it costs you more. You got to feed them.
You're listening to North State Give and Take and Local Voices here on KZFR 90.1 FM. And my name is Bobby Tryon. You're listening to an interview with Peter Strauss. He is a past owner of AVL Looms, and he is now on the board of True North Housing Alliance. We're going to jump right back into the second half of our interview.
A lot of people don't realize the Torah Shelter is our only 24/7 emergency shelter.
Yes.
We take virtually anyone in. There are rules. And you can't be, if you are abusing, we have something called a harm reduction program, which is a segregated area to help you get clean.
Mm-hmm.
But we do provide case management, wonderful case managers. We have a great, selfless, wonderful staff. And we actually house people at a rate more than twice that of the national average.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
So I think last I saw, we were somewhere between 20 and 30% housing rate, getting people in someplace.
Yeah. And we had talked about that because most people assume, or they remember that, the shelter was such that you had to be in there by a certain time, and there was, seemed to be a lot of rules and regulations, and you're saying that is better now.
Yes, it was, well, different.
Different,
hopefully better,
yes.
So, I
yes.
mean, hopefully we keep improving.
Yeah.
But yes, we were, prior to the campfire, people were only allowed into the facility, I think, after 5 o'clock, and had to
okay.
be
yeah.
out the next morning by 8 a.m.
Yes.
With the campfire, we went to 24/7 in low barrier, meaning that we do test a true low barrier, I guess. They don't even test to see if you're high or whatever.
Yeah.
We do test, but we don't keep people out. We also now allow people to bring one animal in, and we're actually becoming a certified animal shelter of sorts. I'm not exactly sure what the designation is, but we got a fairly big grant to build kennels, so we can actually...
That's so good.
So it's actually changing, and the biggest thing of all is we serve 3 meals a day.
Yeah.
One of which, since the beginning, has been provided by the community. Church groups, individuals, whatever. Mm-hmm. Every night for dinner, a different group comes in and provides meals for... Now we have about 120 people. We were up to about 160 on the average, and then after with COVID...
Yeah,
it went, the numbers went way down because of
still
CDC.
120.
Yeah, 120 is a lot.
It is.
And yeah, it is. It's a lot, and that food is being provided for by the community. Some of these churches, in particular,
amazing.
Twice a month.
Yeah,
like clockwork.
Yeah,
they get on
they arrive.
Schedule,
and
they make really great meals.
Yeah.
It's not just, you know, beans and franks. It's the real deal. And in fact, the beans and franks are pretty good, too.
Yeah, sure.
But anyway, they do a great job.
Sure.
And there's a, as I say, there's a terrific staff and wonderful case managers. And half of the battle, I think, with people who are unhoused is letting them know what services are available to them. What they can get.
Right.
Just getting the basic functions of life taken care of. And the community really helps out. Just... Last month, Comcast provided us with 10 laptops. They also provided 10 or 20 to the Jesus Center. And this a program that allows access at very high speeds. And we brought in a young expert from Chico State, a former entrepreneurship student of mine, who's putting together training programs to teach our residents, our guests, how to... Maybe. Use the computer, how to apply for driver's license, social security, all that stuff that's done online.
Yeah, got it.
And they're going to have access at the shelter. And there's going to be training programs. And this is all from Comcast, you know, the local Comcast, which is really great.
It is. It is. People need to know that stuff.
People need to know that
we
stuff.
We need to think of, we often think of Comcast, big, you know, problematic.
Right. But, you know, people, it's interesting, especially in a community like this, people pull together and try.
Yeah.
I think we're making some progress.
Yeah.
Is the good news.
Well, that's what you were telling me. You were feeling good about.
I'm impressed with the Pallet Shelter Village, which is right next door to Torres.
Yeah.
Torres is a congregate shelter. Congregate shelters have gotten sort of a bad name in the world of homeless care. I think it's a bit unfairly, because everybody needs emergency shelter. I was telling you the other day, I got a call from a former board member who ran into a guy in the Durham post office, and he had walked during the rain from Oroville to Durham, and was apparently fairly disoriented.
Yeah.
Needed a place to stay.
Yeah.
80 years old, feet were bleeding, and she... Drove him over to Torres, and they gave him a place.
Yeah.
And I don't know what's happened to him, but I think he's better. He's got at least he's got a roof over his head and three
food.
Meals a day and
a
bed. And, you know, it's emergency shelter. It's not the end all and be all. We work closely with Chad, and we're doing a great job.
Yeah, sure.
And the city to some degree, and the county to some degree.
So is that something that someone could do? Because sometimes you wonder, you'll see someone... in distress, or more in distress than it could. Could you say, "Hey, buddy, let me drive you over to the shelter"?
Absolutely, absolutely, you could do that,
and
we will take them. We have a fairly simple intake process. I think they start the formal intake at 2 p.m, but prior to that, they are sort of in limbo or in purgatory.
They're
in the building.
They're in the building,
but they're not admitted, you know, like you get admitted. But at that point, you're part of the Yeah. Getting taken care of.
Yeah.
And yes, absolutely. I one of my first lessons 3 directors ago, and he said to me, he said, look, man, don't be giving quarters and nickels out to people on the street corner. That just perpetuates the problem. Get them to the shelter where they can get a case manager and a social worker and food.
Help them.
Tell them that this is available to them, because you're really not helping anyone by doing that. It's a little rough, but it's probably right, you know?
Sure. So every day, starting at 2, there's an intake time.
That's the formal intake. You can go 24.
Anytime you can
anytime.
Go.
Anytime. And there's a little waiting area, and they, you know, check you out and maybe give you a shower. I don't know. I've never actually done it, frankly.
Yeah.
But yeah, they do take care of, there's somebody waiting for you. And we're in the process of building out the facility to make something that has become very successful in bigger cities called a navigation center. So as of, I think, next September, this is a lot with the city's help, by the way. City Council did a great thing there.
Mm-hmm.
We will have what's called a formal navigation center at Torres Shelter. The idea behind it is all the service providers, the police, social workers, ever, can bring the person to the navigation center, and they will figure out, do they go to Chat, do they go to Catalyst, do they go to the Paddle Village, Jesus Center, etc. And it's a navigation center, exactly what it sounds like.
Yeah,
and,
like a triage-y thing.
Yeah, and just figuring out what's
best. Here's a service. This is the one you need.
You know, there are some places in this country. There's a company or a group called Community Solutions that basically says they are helping put a functional end to homelessness. There's about 83 communities thus far that have been able to functionally end homeless. They have a very interesting approach. Mm-hmm. They start with veterans, actually,
mm-hmm.
which is in some ways an easy group to address because there's a lot of services for them. But even as close to us as Bakersfield, they have done a tremendous job of cleaning up homelessness. Mm-hmm. Not that it's completely gone.
Sure.
But it's essentially functionally gone.
Well, and it was with one of these navigation kind of models, probably, where they're directing them and helping them.
And they're certainly trying it in places like San Francisco. They have navigation centers where they have a much bigger problem than we do, unfortunately.
Yeah. Well, and part of the problem seems to be to get people to go. To get them there.
Definitely.
Because there's fear. They don't want to control.
Not everyone wants to live
within
the confines of societal norms and laws. And we have laws and we have rules. And, you know, our shelter has rules. And there's people in tents. But even those people can get services.
Yeah.
And hopefully this navigation center will help them. It'll give them a place to go to say, hey, how do I get Social Security. I'm now 65 or 62, whatever it is. Yeah.
Right. Well, and if you get in the door and you can see that there's some comfort and ease in doing some of that stuff, it helps. Because I think getting in the door is part
of it. And congregate shelters, the other thing about congregate shelters people don't realize, actually, it's a number of people have expressed shock when they come into our shelter. Number of people are in wheelchairs, with walkers, with canes.
Yeah.
These are people who literally could not even live in the pallet shelter. They couldn't take care of themselves over a pallet or a tent. This is a needed service, set of services for them to get them into a home.
Right.
But the home has to have, you know, wheelchair ramps and all sorts of
things,
stuff. Like
that. Taken care of.
So there's a whole range of kinds of people who are unhoused, and some of them have been incarcerated. They don't want to be inside of any kind of place with rules.
Right.
And we need to have some compassion on them. I hope, in a personal opinion, this isn't the shelter's formal stance, but I hope they work out a campground. The state shelter team is working on that. I think that would be another good thing for this community and from all communities.
Right. So. Well, and some of the services, like, if you're happier in a camping situation, then you may look around and see what services they are, and that's how you can kind of pull people in again that way. Yeah.
I really feel like we're making progress in the homeless.
That's so good to hear.
It ain't perfect, clearly.
It's good to hear. And you're in it. Sometimes,
and I'm in the middle of it.
Sometimes if you're looking at it and you focus on this little clump of tents and go, oh, my God.
Clearly, some of this stuff ain't pretty. And there's real problems there. But we are definitely making progress. Right. And again, I feel that the whole range of providers Chad, Jesus Center, Palette right. Village, Catalyst.
Yeah. Yeah.
I hope I'm not forgetting. North right. State well, Shelter. It's safe space. I don't
safe
want to
space,
safe
yeah.
Space.
Yeah, in the city.
Yeah, the city. City's actually doing stuff now.
Yeah,
so
working on it, yeah.
People are pulling together, and there sure. seems to be some consensus that we have to do something, yeah. and we're actually
and
making some progress.
Progress is being made.
Yeah.
Yeah. I had one question for you. Do you need anybody on the board
always.
At True North?
Always we need people on the board.
Okay.
Contact me or contact Taylor at True North, truenorthbutte.org.
Yeah.
Or call the Torres Shelter.
Uh-huh. Okay.
And we're always looking for people, always looking for volunteers.
Yeah, that was my other question.
And definitely, even if you don't want to be on the board, you don't want to volunteer, come visit. Get
sure.
a tour.
See what it's
people
like.
Are
right.
generally pretty blown away when they set foot in the door. The first thing they see is a big service board where the guests sign up for the chores.
Neat.
So you can see who's cleaning the bathrooms mm-hmm. and who's emptying the trash and who's mm-hmm. helping in the kitchen. And they're putting their names up on the big board. There yeah. are guests who organize game nights and things
neat.
To keep people occupied.
Yeah.
And it's it's clearly not the Ritz, but it's pretty impressive.
Yeah,
it's pretty
yeah.
clean
and warm.
Warm, and there's yeah. say, three meals a day. The other thing, we love donations.
Yes. Oh, yes,
feel
get that
free,
in there.
Feel free to
yeah.
donate to your heart's content.
Right.
We have had one of the challenges of this place, especially post-COVID, has been just figuring out the finances. Prior to Campfire,
yeah.
when we were an overnight shelter, our budget was under $500,000 a year.
Yeah.
Since the Campfire, we are approaching $3 million a year
wow.
budget. It is not easy
yeah.
to run a congregate shelter.
Okay.
And to get people living wages.
Yeah.
Just
sure.
to compete with McDonald's.
Sure, sure.
For
yeah.
gosh sakes.
Yeah.
Our staff are so, they're fantastic.
Yeah, they're dedicated.
I can't say enough about them. They're not just dedicated. They're smart, they're
yeah.
savvy, they're
right. they
tough,
want to give.
They're everything.
Yeah. Yeah. And there's a donate button, I'm sure, on the
oh,
website.
Oh, yeah, right on the website. Feel free. Feel
Guff,
free.
Good. And then don't forget also, bring someone there. Someone that you might see needs that help
yes.
and is willing to come.
Yes. And by the way, one of the things we do that's quite interesting is we actually help Chico State. It turns out that most of the state colleges, a certain percentage of the students are functionally homeless. Either they're
yeah.
couch surfing or living
uh-huh.
in car, and Chico State actually provides what's called rapid rehousing funds.
Uh-huh.
And so if you're a Chico State student, you have to be listening to the Zephyr.
Yeah.
Know that you can go to Chico State to the Basic Needs Program, and they will refer you over to us. We'll help you get an apartment for the semester. And as a teacher, I have to tell you, as a professor,
that is
I actually
great.
Had students come to me before I was on the board. I didn't know what to do with them.
Yeah.
And they came
sure.
and said, you know, it's a better excuse than the dog ate my homework.
Yeah.
It's
like, yeah.
I don't have a place to live, man.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like, well, really?
Yeah.
So, you
they
know,
could show up at the Torres Shelter
absolutely.
Or do it through the school.
Or through
the school.
And, you know, it's nothing's more heartbreaking than kids. We actually also have a family shelter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we've had as many as nine
that.
Families
uh-huh.
There.
Uh-huh.
And take care of the kid. And it's nothing's more heartbreaking than a kid.
I know.
Adolescent having
absolutely.
Been homeless.
Well, Peter, I thank you so much. I've learned a lot.
Well,
I mean, I have.
I doubt that, Bobby, but
no,
I'm happy to.
No, I have. I've learned a lot, and I hope our listeners do, too.
I do,
and,
too.
And, you know, it's just heartening to hear what you have to say about it.
It's a great town.
It is good.
And I've enjoyed living here.
Well, and enjoy your time with your family and your grandkids. That's another whole big one for you.
That is. That definitely takes up some time.
It does. It sure
thanks for your time. I appreciate it.
All right. Thank you.
All right.
All right, Peter.
All right.
Great. All right. You just heard an interview with Peter Strauss from the True North Housing Alliance. You're listening to 90.1 FM KZFR Chico. I'm Bobby Tryon. Stay tuned to KZFR 90.1 FM.
Why don't we begin? Hey, and welcome to Fresh Hop Cinema, a craft beer and film podcast and radio show based most of the time entirely out of Chico, California. I am Max Minardi.
Johnny Summers here reporting for duty.
This week on the show, our thoughts on Knock at the Cabin, the latest from M. Night.